us victory. We don't want just partial victory. We don't want just part of his power. We want the full effect. Amen? Have you ever been talking with somebody and unintentionally you struck a nerve? And all of a sudden, that person that you're talking to has the same face of that person, same body and everything. The voice sounds the same. But you feel like am I still talking to the same person? Have you ever had that before? You struck a nerve and it's like you're not talking to that person anymore. You're talking to something else. Have you ever done that yourself? Thought, who is this that just took over? This is not me. And when you see that, when you have seen that in yourself and seen that in somebody else, you just witnessed the flesh, most likely. I can't say all the time, but most likely you just witnessed the flesh. The flesh is far more powerful than we give it credit for. Far more impulsive and far more deceiving than we tend to give it credit. And we want to be people of the Spirit, not people of the flesh. But we can call something spirit that's really flesh. And do you ever feel like you're boxed in? Have you ever felt like I just can't get myself to stop talking? Just can't stop myself from inserting my opinion in there. I just can't stop myself from trying to take control of the reins there. Or I just can't stop myself from backing in and caving and doing what everybody else wants. And so all of us have different tendencies and stuff. Or I just can't stop thinking that way. Or I just can't help it. I have to make sure that this goes in this spot and everybody else knows it goes there. Kind of tendencies. Do you ever feel trapped in yourself? Yes. It depends on how much vision you have and how much you're able to see. Because again, we've been talking, we have blind spots. And sometimes we don't see that we're doing something instinctively almost, and we're not actually thinking about what we're doing. You know, I've mentioned before when I've made that 10-hour road trip from Springfield, Missouri to Dayton so many times that there was one trip that I could not remember the state of Illinois. It was in there somewhere, but somehow I realized I was in Indiana. And I thought, I don't remember driving through Illinois. Because we just kind of get mindless at times, lazy. We just, creatures of habit, we just like to just do what we normally do. We don't really like to think through everything and stop. And I desperately want to make sure that my finger is on the pulse of the Spirit and not the flesh. In fact, it says in Romans, and we'll throw out a few verses here and there to guide us, and if you need the references, just ask me later, and don't ask me right now, you'll throw me off. Again, it's got to go according to the plan, otherwise I'm teasing. Nobody's getting my jokes there, some of them are. What'd you say, Heather? Oh. She said it wasn't a joke. Romans 8, verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." But precisely what are the things? Don't you love when the Bible is so vague? Things, spirit, things, flesh. Uses the same word for both. Mind for both. But one is one way, and the other is a different way. And we sometimes blame things on God when they weren't really God. And over the next few weeks, we're going to see if the Lord can help us sift through the different ways that people look at the world, for the most part in a fleshly sense, and they don't realize it. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you thought, I cannot for the life of me figure out how to think the way you think. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know why you think that way. I can't wrap my brain around that. I just can't think the way you think. Have you ever had that before? Okay. Anybody have that before? Just raise your hand if you've had that. I cannot think the way this person thinks, okay? Look around you, all right? So there's several hands up. Now, a bunch more hands went up when I said, but look around you. This is a testimony that everybody thinks differently. We don't all think the same way. But we tend to think that there is a right way to think. And depending on your emotional security, you either think that your way of thinking is the right way. So when you looked at that person and thought, I cannot figure out how to think the way you think because you are messed up. And I am not. Or if you're insecure, you think, I just can't get it together like that person. That person has it all together and they're all right and I'm all messed up. Okay, I see heads nodding, so some of us are on different sides of the spectrum there. And we end up relying on, I call them crutches when it comes to leading the leading of the Holy Spirit. We end up relying on other things to speak to us besides the Spirit. And then we rely so heavily on it that we think and assume it's the Spirit all the time. And there are different ways that your body, in a sense, speaks to you. And it can be fleshly, or it could be in line with the Spirit. You just have to know the Spirit and have your finger on the pulse of the Spirit and know when flesh is showing up. And again, we're going to look through different lenses that people look at the world through, and we're going to see them pop up in some biblical characters. And the first three lenses we're going to look at that we're probably going to look at next week is some people are power people. Some people are aggressive and impulsive and just say what they think, and it makes me think of the Apostle Peter. Remember, he had the foot-mouth syndrome? He was always the first to jump into the water. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it was ugly. He was just impulsive. Anybody say that you're kind of on the impulsive end? Okay, and we're going to look through the peace lens. Some of us are peace lovers. We just love to make sure that everybody's fine and just relax and calm down. Anybody peace lovers? Okay, so we got some peace lovers. And we're going to look through the perfectionist lens. Some of us are perfectionists. Everything has to be just so, and there is a right and wrong way to do everything. Okay, anybody a perfectionist lens? Okay, so we got different ones in these. Now, these three lenses tend to have three things in common. They tend to, not necessarily. But there are ways that your body speaks to you, your mind speaks to you. You have a logic, you have intelligence, and you can logically figure some things out, right? Right? Do you have a mind? I mean, some of you look like you're not sure. Okay. Our minds speak to us. It's not necessarily the Spirit, per se, but our minds speak to us. Some of us, our hearts speak to us. Okay, we feel things, and we have a sense of an intuition, and we feel things. And some of us rely more heavily on that intellect than we do the other two. Some of us rely more heavily on our feelings, and some of us rely more heavily on our gut instinct. Okay, we react to things rather than think and feel things. And so if that thing is not in the right place, I don't have to come up with a philosophical thesis on where it needs to go, and I don't really need to feel about it, or I don't care how you feel about it, I need to move it somewhere else. Have you ever had someone come along and they didn't care how you felt, they fixed something and they made sure that you saw that they fixed it? And they didn't have to think about it, they just went on impulse. This isn't right, and this has to, and they act instinctively out of their body. Some people are impulsive and they just say, you know, that person just needed to know that. Have you ever heard someone say that before? They just needed to know. And they didn't care about how they felt. They didn't care about how they thought. They didn't stop to think it through. They just reacted. Okay, so some of us are more body-centered, more reactionary. It doesn't mean we're not intelligent. It doesn't mean we're not emotional. It just means some of us are more reactionary. Anybody care to admit that you're more reactionary than you are the others? Okay, some are, I see that hand, Cindy. Maybe me. And listen, we'll pick on the others too, because it's not good to rely too heavily on your intellect and not on your emotions either. But some of us are more instinctive, and we tend to just react before we think. And James says, in James 1, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire, by his impulse, by what drives him, by his gut instinct, by his reactionary impulse, which isn't necessarily sin in and of itself, initially. Because listen to this. It says each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is accomplished or fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, he says. So I can have this instinctive gut instinct. Anybody feel like you have a strong, good gut instinct? Okay, some of you are saying yes. And the challenge is, Tommy, is that like a maybe? I'm not sure if I have a gut instinct. I think I do. The problem is if our gut instinct is really good and it's usually right, then instead of listening to the Spirit, we just keep our finger on the gut. My gut instinct, I just know it's usually right, and so I'm just going to go with my gut instinct. And I stop listening to the Spirit because I'm relying on the flesh and not the Spirit, because I just think my gut instinct is correct. Your gut instinct isn't infallible. It's not. You might be really good, and you might get things right most of the time. And here's the thing. Satan doesn't show up and try to just get you to jump into a bath of immorality. Satan doesn't show up and just try to get you to curse God and become an idolater. Satan shows up as an angel of light. Satan shows up quoting Scripture. Satan shows up trying to mimic the real thing long enough for you to trust that thing. And so he will let you be right long enough in your gut to make you think that that's the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I've seen it enough times in my life to see someone have a gut instinct reaction and blame it on the Holy Spirit. But we just saw that flesh doesn't lead us towards righteousness. It leads us into sin and deception. And it says, do not be deceived, because we can honestly believe that our gut instinct is the Holy Spirit, and we're deceived. And so I need to know that if I'm more reactionary, if I just have a gut instinct, if I just tend to react to things. And listen, you peace people, you do react to things too. You think that you think it through and you feel. But have you ever been around a peace person who things started getting a little tense, and then before you know it, you go, hey, where'd so-and-so go? They were here. Did you see them leave? They just disappeared out of nowhere. I don't know where they went. Because their gut told them, this is getting bad, get out of here. They didn't have to, Linda, why are you laughing? They didn't have to think about it very long. They didn't care how people would feel if they disappeared. Their gut told them, this is bad, leave. And they followed their gut. Or have you ever been around the people that just, all you said was, I don't know if I agree. And all of a sudden this person's like, just calm down, it's all right. All right, let's just talk about something else, it's okay. Let's move past this. Have you ever had that before? Okay, and they're not thinking about it. They're not worried about how you feel about your disagreement. They're reacting to their instinctive move in their gut. And because that impulse is so strong, we tend to think, well, I'm a person of the Spirit, so it must be the Spirit because I feel this strong impulse within me. Are you sure? Because many people have been destroyed because somebody chose to react to their gut. And though sometimes that gut is right, if I'm a gut-type person, when I feel the gut show up, instead of just assuming Spirit, I need to take my hand off that and say, is that the Spirit? Let me test the Spirit. Let me wait a minute. And that's, did you hear what I just said? Let me wait a minute. That's hard for a gut person. I mean, Linda, if things start getting a little tense, and if God said, just hang on a minute, what are you thinking? If you see the world through a perfectionist lens and where you are is just a complete mess, and God says, just hold on, don't clean anything up yet. Isn't that hard? Don't clean anything up yet. It's all out of place. needs to go somewhere. And those of you who are power people, you just do whatever you want to anyway. We'll get to that, Cindy. We're going to pick on you. But if I want a handle on the Spirit, I need to know what's going on inside of me. What's the Bible say? Guard your heart, for from it comes the wellsprings of life. I need to know. And not all of us are instinctive like that. Some of us are analytical and we think about everything. You know those people who think and then they never act because they just keep thinking about it? Okay. Some of us are not the instinctive people, but if you are an instinctive type person, you need to know it. And you need to question it. Because your gut might be right a lot of times, it's not always right. And you don't always just assume it's the Spirit. Don't use that gut as a crutch. Okay? So test that. If I'm a person who is of instinct, I need to take my hand off that and get my finger on the pulse of the Spirit. Wouldn't you rather listen to the Spirit than your own gut? I mean, besides, my gut just lets off all kinds of sounds sometimes. You eat Mexican food, it just kills you. I mean, your gut is not right. I mean, that almost sounds weird, doesn't it? Have you ever thought about that before? I have a gut instinct. Okay. I can see you have a gut instinct. That went flat, too. Moving right along. Some of us have, all of us have emotional needs. And another similarity between these power, peace, and perfectionist type people is where they lean as far as their basic emotional need. All of us need to be loved by people. Okay, all of us want affection and to be loved. And all of us want knowledge in the sense that we want to experience life. We want to understand what's going on, and we want to be able to experience things. And all of us want to be in control of our lives to various extents. But some of us really want to be in control of our lives. Have you ever heard one of those type people pipe up and go, "We just need to get a control of this. We need to just get a handle on this. This is too chaotic. We need to, this can't be. We need to stop this." And some of us just, we'd like to be in control, right? Anybody, you just like to be in control? Nobody wants to raise their hand? All right, we'll give an altar. Okay, thanks, Alma. Appreciate it, okay? Some of us, and it comes in different ways. Some of us want to be in control of the way things are laid out, okay? So if you ever loaded the dishwasher for somebody and then walked away and noticed they opened it up and started emptying the dishwasher and started putting it back in a different way, why'd you do that? Because they needed control. It needed to be a certain way. Amen. You don't leave it that way. It needs to be this way. This is the right way. And some of us, we're a little controlling. Anybody know someone that's a little controlling? Probably, I figured a few more hands would go up for that one than the "I am controlling." And some of us want to be in control of the atmosphere that we're in. I don't like it when things get conflicting. I don't like it when things get tense, and so I need to try to fix it and take control. And if you are impulsively trying to grab onto control and you're a little blind, you can assume that the Holy Spirit's the one who's unctioning you to take control. And you have to question yourself, do I really want to be in control because my finger's on the pulse of the Spirit? Or do I want to be in control because it what gives me comfort? What amount of control did you gain by clutching for it? Put your thumb on your kids. Put your thumb on your husband. Thumb on your wife. Put your thumb on your siblings. You put your thumb on other people. You put your thumb on your neighbors. Put your thumb on. How'd that go for you? Clutching for control is not the move of the Spirit. And a gut instinct, as much as I love Jethro Gibbs, anybody know that TV show? What is that called, NCIS? As much as I love Jethro Gibbs and that amazing gut instinct to be able to know intuitively what's going to happen, what someone's thinking, Jethro Gibbs is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just the Holy Spirit, that's it. And I need to recognize me and the Spirit. These three, power, peace, and perfection, also have a common emotion that they go to. And all of us feel all these emotions, these basic emotions, fear. Have you been afraid or feel anxious before or stressed out? Come on, you're nod your head, raise your hand, come on. Anybody ever feel stressed, anxious, fear? Okay, we all fear it or feel it. Anybody ever feel ashamed of yourself, insecure, not really like you're anything at all? Okay, all of us feel it. Anybody ever feel ticked off before? Okay, so we feel all those emotions. But some of us react more out of one than one of the other two. I mean, we feel them all, but some of us are a little more paranoid than others. Some of us are a little more insecure than others. And some of us, we just react in anger, usually. That's our initial reaction. We react out of anger. And those people who are impulsive, most people you kind of know and you see that impulsive people are usually angry first. They're ticked off that you're not doing it the way they told you to do it. They're ticked off that you got in their way. They're ticked off that you restrict them. Impulsive people are usually angry first. They might be afraid later. They might be ashamed of something down the road. But impulsive people are usually angry first. And have you ever been around someone that you can just feel the anger radiating off of them? Okay, they just walked in the room and you feel like, ooh, there's anger in here. This dark cloud just showed up. Where'd it come from? And then those who are perfectionistic also tend to, have you ever had somebody smiling at you and you thought, I know they hate me right now, but why are they smiling at me? This is creepy. It's because the perfectionist people, they don't like the idea of being angry. They think it's wrong, so they try to keep it stifled down. I'm ticked off that this is a mess and nobody else is doing anything about it but me, and they just try to shove it down and they try to smile, put a mask on top of that, and it looks like this. Fine, yeah, it's the nice, they spilt that all over the place, that's and on the inside I'm boiling over and just want to just attack somebody. And nobody's ever guilty of that, right? Thanks, I saw that hand. We got the slip them up thing. Like, here, let me put it in front of my whole body so only Pastor Danny sees it. I love calling people out. It's fun. And those people who tend towards anger have a favorite Bible verse. And I hear some of you use it correctly and some of you use it incorrectly. You want to know a favorite Bible verse for people who have an anger issue? Ready for this? Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. See, I can be angry. The Bible says I can be ticked off at people. It says be angry and do not sin. And so I can be angry and not be sinning. So I could be ticked off at you right now and I'm good. Ever get people to have that head bop thing? Fine. Not paying attention to the whole of Scripture when James says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The question is God actually angry about it? Because if God's not angry about it, it's the anger of man, and that does not produce the righteousness of God. And sometimes we think we're moving by it. Sometimes we imagine us being like Jesus that went in the temple and turned the tables over and just really gave them what for. And we think, yeah, we should be able to give people what for. Yeah, get them, Jesus. Yeah. When really we're just ticked off about our own thing. We're trying to blame Jesus for it. Imagine the judgment when we stand before God and he says, remember all those things that you did to all those people, the people you bossed around and barked around and got angry at and ticked off at and kept bitterness in your heart towards them. Remember all those people that you said you did it for me? You did it for you. Could you imagine the way your heart is going to sink in your gut in that moment? We better be careful that our fingers on this, the Spirit, and not on the flesh. And those of us who want control, a lot of it is really because you don't trust. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will, what? Direct your paths. If I want to be able to see this thing and know what the Spirit is doing, then I need to trust in the Lord. Well, but somebody needs to get a hold of this. I need to trust in the Lord. Well, somebody needs to do something about this. Have you ever? You've never said that, have you? Somebody needs to do something about this.
And not that that's not true necessarily, but if your gut instinct is always, someone needs to, and you're getting riled up and you need, feel like something needs to be taken care of, do you trust God to take care of it even if you don't have to be the one to take care of it? Are you able to take your hand off this thing? Are you able to decide to not be in control and trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways do what? Acknowledge Him. So let's take our hands off of control. Us control people, let's take our hands off control and say, God, what are you wanting to do here? I feel this strong impulse to just let them have it. I feel this strong impulse to get to organize this thing. Have you, anybody like me, you're the perfectionist type? You see something that's not in order, and you're like, I need just to organize this thing. I remember I was serving at a Vineyard church, and I saw the room that they kept their children's supplies, and I walked in, and my first instinct was, somebody let me at this thing. I just need to get this thing in order. Anybody ever feel like that? You looked at a room, and you thought, can somebody just let me organize this? Okay, that's a gut instinct. Let me at it kind of thing. And again, you can flow with that, and that could be the Spirit, as long as you trust in the Lord and you acknowledge what the Lord's doing, and you recognize, okay, I just want to do this because I just don't like to see that look like that, and I'm going to listen to God and let God show you what He wants to do. Can you do that? Can you trust God when you're not in control? Can you trust God when you're weak and you are not exerting power? Can you trust God when things are out of whack? Matthew 20, verse 26 and 27. Whoever would be great among you must first be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. That's hard for someone who is impulsive and kind of on the controlling power end, gut instinct end, to decide to back off. Anybody care to admit it's hard for you to back off? Anybody? It's hard to back off. Okay. Sometimes God just wants you to back off. Sometimes you think you're making the Holy Spirit move. First of all, think about that statement. You think you're making the Holy Spirit move. And sometimes you just need to get your hands off that. And that's not true of all people. Because some people have their hands off of everything and they won't do anything. Okay, there's opposite types of people, okay? We know that. We just raised our hands and said we know a lot of people that just think weirdly, okay? Because they don't think like me, right? But some of us, we just need to learn to get our hands off and trust God and stop going with your instincts. That's not God. Maybe it was God in there for a season because you got it right a few times in a row. But that's your gut's not God. And your desire to be in control is not God. And your anger is not usually righteous indignation. Let God purify our spirits and our minds and our hearts to actually be able to get out of the way and hear God. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? And Joe, let's do I'm Alive in You, if you would. I'm very appreciative of Joe because he lets me bark orders at him and he's always so nice about it. And you might not be a gut instinct type person. You might not be reactionary. You might not have anger as your go-to emotion. You might not have a control issue, but likely you know someone who does. And I wonder, how tender and affectionate do you feel towards that person? How much do you radiate grace and understanding towards them? How much have you tried to understand where they're coming from? Really tried to understand. So there are two ways you can respond to this. One could be, you know, I'm not that guy, but I need God to help me to be Jesus to that guy. We need all different kinds of people. Do you know that? I was going to get to 1 Corinthians 12 today, but we'll probably get to that in the coming weeks. But 1 Corinthians 12 says that we are one body, but we are not one member, but we're many. And there is a variety within God's body. And when a body becomes too singular in focus, when a body becomes more like copies of one another rather than there being a variety, we've lost so much. We need different types of people, and we need impulsive people. We do. Because we take advantage of those power people. You know that? When the going gets tough and we need someone to be impulsive and jump up and do something about it, we are more than happy to step aside and let that person go and jump in to our aid. But it's the moment that it's taken care of, we step back and begin to ridicule them for their behavior. We need all different kinds of people. And so again, if you are the type that you're not that guy, but you need help being Jesus to that guy, just come. Just come and seek him and let the Lord implant within you by the Holy Spirit an ability to exude the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the second way to respond is you are that guy. You act before you think, and you need the Holy Spirit to help you. You blame your gut on the Spirit, and you need to stop it and get your hand off the flesh and on the Spirit. And you are terrified, absolutely terrified to be in a situation in which you don't have any control. And God wants to set you free from that, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not trust in your ability to get control. Or some of you have anger and it's radiating either outside of you or it's suppressed within you and it's eating you up. That's not the Spirit. And the more you keep clinging on to that, saying it's the work of the Spirit, instead of saying, you know what, that's me, and I need to just let it go. Don't you want to be free today? So if that's you, just come find freedom today. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm telling you, if we can get out of God's way, he's got great things that he wants to do. If we could just learn to step away from us and who we are. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. But sometimes we tend to think that God thinks like we do. That's a scary thought, isn't it? I want so desperately for us to become a people of the Spirit. And I don't mean just excited. And I don't mean just speaking in tongues or prophesying, as important as those things are. I don't mean tingly feelings. I mean, I want to be a person who is in step with the Spirit at all times. Don't you want to be that? And know it. If there's some blind spot in me, I want to know about it, don't you? That's uncomfortable, though. We don't like it, especially if we look at the world through a perfectionist lens. We don't like it when someone says that we're not perfect. We don't like it when someone says, hey, you know, there's something wrong with you. I mean, doesn't that feel good? How many of you, when you're having a bad day, you want someone to show up and say there's something wrong with you? Okay? We don't like that. But sometimes we need to hear that. There is something wrong with you, and that needs to change. There's something wrong with me. Did you know that? There is something wrong with me because I'm not perfected yet. As Paul says, I press on because I'm not there yet. And I plead with the Lord that he can break through our thoughts. Have you ever tried to just sit down and listen to God and it took you forever just to clear your mind? You just keep your mind just keeps going. You just keep thinking of this and thinking of that. And before you know it, you're thinking, what am I still sitting here for? I have all this stuff that needs to get done. I don't want to be like Martha. Do you want to be like Martha?
There is Jesus sitting right there, and you could just sit at his feet and listen to his every word and soak in his presence. And Martha's busy doing stuff because there's so much stuff to be done. I think we've been caught on the hook of the busyness of our culture. Some of us need to put this down for a little while. Just for a little while. Don't get anxious. Just for a little bit. Some of us need to walk away from that TV for just a little bit. Some of us need to come out of hiding in our comfy home where we're hiding from everybody and go out and be with people sometimes. We need a Holy Spirit outpouring. And so in the coming weeks, as we look through, and I hope that you end up at some point in these few weeks looking at yourself straight in the mirror. And I hope that God takes any of the ugliness that's in us and bring it right to the surface. And don't worry, if he does, I won't call you out on that. Even though, I don't know if you're like me, but the more you're in tune with the Spirit, you can see it before someone shows it to you. Have you ever talked with someone and you could just see the heartache that's there? You can see the trap that somebody's in. That only comes if you're in the Spirit. There is nothing like when you sit down to talk to somebody and you point everything out that they're struggling with and they didn't tell you. And they begin to burst into tears. How could somebody know? And they know that there's a God who sees them and cares for them. And all of a sudden you see the Holy Spirit begin to work out of them the issues that were there. Wouldn't you love to be a part of that? Wouldn't you love to be a part of that? To be used as God's instrument to bring freedom to somebody. But we are running around, taking care of things, and we're not even aware that there's people all around us that God's talking to. And God's trying to work them out of their anxiety. God's trying to work them out of their fear. God's trying to get them to Christ. And they're right there next to us. I mean, how many times do we stand in the grocery store and there's someone right behind us, right in front of us, and God's working on their life and we can't hear it? Conversations going on all around us. I challenge you, start listening. Get your hands off the pulse of the flesh. Start listening. God is saying so much if we could just open our ears beyond ourselves. So, Lord, help us to become people of the Spirit. And help us to not be deceived. Lord, the angel, Satan comes as an angel of light. Satan mimics the real thing. But help us to recognize and see right through that. Help us to see when it's just me trying to make something happen versus the Holy Spirit at work. Help me know when to be aggressive and when to lay off. Help me to know when to speak and when to just keep my mouth closed. Help us, Lord, to hear all the conversations that you're having with the people around us. Help us to be in tune. Help us to be awake. Lord, there are so many people that are desperate and hurting, and we know answers. But we don't know who's asking the questions because we're not listening. We're not paying attention, Lord. Help us to start to be alert and aware. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you do that, I'd like to hear testimonies of that. When you go grocery shopping this week, ask the Lord to show you what God's doing in the people around you. And watch for it. Don't be in such a rush to get out of there. When you're walking through your neighborhood, ask the Lord to show you what God's saying to people. It doesn't mean that you're going to have... I mean, wouldn't you love it if you went up to someone and just said, Jesus, and they just fell to their knees? It'd be great if it was that easy. Just start walking around, Jesus, boom. Slaying the Spirit. It doesn't usually show up that way. Sometimes it evolves over several conversations that you have over time with those people. But I'm telling you, if you start listening, he's saying so much. And listen, I'm learning it by experience. There's a difference. There's a difference between being able to hear from God and walking in step with the Spirit. Because you might be able to ask him to give you an answer and hear it when you ask. But whether you have that constant posture of always listening, always wondering what's he up to, what's he doing? Because what's it say? That if I walk, keep in step with the Spirit, I will not carry out the desires of the flesh.
If you want freedom, it's not just being able to hear him help you make a decision. It's not just being able to consume the scripture and pray. It's always walking with what the Spirit is saying now. That's when we'll know freedom. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. Thank you for putting up with my crazy antics. And I'm praying that God will just break you free out of the box that sometimes we're trapped in. Amen? God bless you.